following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, welcome to a Tuesday. It's a brand new week here at the Nicole Sandler Show. I just spent too much time watching Trump. It'll fry your brain. You know that, right? So I'm watching the stuff going on at the White House. President Macron of France is here visiting. The first state dinner of the Trump administration is happening tonight at the White House. And Melania Trump is showing off her white hat. Get over it, lady. Really. But that's not all that's going on. There's a whole bunch more. Ronnie Jackson, the president's doctor, who he named, nominated to be the new head of the VA, is sorry, I'm distracted because David's hearing something different, but I think we're working. Everything's working right. Okay. Ronnie Jackson, has been distracted here. Apparently, they're saying he was doing excess drinking on the job and overprescribing drugs while a doctor and creating an unstable work environment. That's not good for someone who's nominated to head up the VA. One of the reporters, I think from MSNBC, tried to get him to comment on it today as he was heading into a senator's office. You know, the nominees for these cabinet positions go around and they meet privately with all the senators trying to get their votes. And so a reporter tried to ambush him in the hallways of Congress.
Mr. Jackson, any comment on the allegations against you that you ran a hostile work environment?
No, I'm looking forward to the hearing. I was looking forward to doing it tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to getting rescheduled and answering all the questions.
So he's looking forward to it. But today, during the 2-on-2 with President Macron and Dump himself, Dump was asked about it. And he really threw his nominee under the bus.
Admiral Jackson, Dr. Jackson, is a wonderful man. I said to him, what do you need it for? And as far as experience is concerned, the Veterans Administration, which is approximately 13 million people, is so big, you could run the biggest hospital system in the world, and it's small time compared to the Veterans Administration. So nobody has the experience. What he is a leader and a good man. But I told him, I said, you know what, Doc? You're too fine a person. His son's a top student at Annapolis.
What does this have
to
do with
anything? He's a high-quality person.
Oh, he is.
I said, what do you need it for? So he'll be it's totally his decision, but he'll be making a decision. But they failed with Mike Pompeo.
Oh, that's what
and
it's about.
That was a big, big hit because they thought they could stop him and embarrass. The Democrats have become obstructionists. That's all they're
really
good at. They're not good at anything else. They have bad ideas. They have bad politics. The one thing they do is
obstruct. So it's not about Ronnie Jackson
anymore. And that's why
anymore.
I'm waiting for, you would never believe this, I'm waiting for very good people like the ambassador to Germany. Hasn't been approved yet. It's been in there for 11 or 12
what?
Months. We have Angela Merkel coming to the United States on Friday. We still don't have our ambassador approved. And at this rate, and many of the papers checked it out yesterday, and they actually said I was right. But it would be 9 years before these people are approved. We have hundreds of people in waiting to be approved.
God.
And the Democrats are taking 30 hours per person. They're taking the maximum time. They are obstructionists. That's very bad for our country. I said to Dr. Jackson,
what
do you need
it
for? So we'll see what happens. I don't want to put a man through who's not a political person. I don't want to put a man through a process like this. It's too ugly and too disgusting. So we'll see what happens. He'll make a decision.
Then why'd you nominate him, you doofus? Seriously, what a schmuck. I mean, he nominates a guy who has no experience running any kind of organization to run the second largest agency in the country, second only to the Department of Homeland Security, the VA, and didn't do any vetting. That's the problem with this White House is, or this White House, with this guy, this president, this thing that passes for a president or that tries to pass for a president. He's like, he's a veteran. He's an admiral. He can run the VA. He's a doctor. He's a good guy. He lied for me. Said I was 239 pounds. I figured it out. Maybe he has dyslexia and he's 329 pounds. Rather than lying, he just can't read his numbers. I don't know. The whole thing is, and that was only 2 minutes out of this rambling, probably 8 minute long answer that just goes from one thing to another. It's impossible. Just so you know, trying to edit Donald Trump is really difficult because he rambles. He reminds me of Sarah Palin, the word salad that goes on, the rambling, that incoherent rambling that goes from one thought or whatever passes as a thought to another, with no connective thread, and then back again, it's all over the place. So that was just a little chunk from the middle of it, his answer on Ronnie Jackson. And basically he's saying, I don't know why he'd even want it. If I were him, I wouldn't do it. So he gave him an out. But Ronnie Jackson says...
Mr. Jackson, any comment on the allegations against you that you ran a hostile work environment?
No, I'm looking forward to the hearing. I was looking forward to doing it tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to getting rescheduled and answering all the questions.
Yeah, it's been postponed indefinitely while the Senate, and it's apparently senators of both parties who are feeling a bit of unease about these allegations about Ronnie Jackson. It's really sad because he was a highly respected White House doctor for so long, and now he's been thrown under the bus. Allegations of too much drinking on the job. If you're the White House doctor, you shouldn't be drinking on the job, should you? Creating a hostile work environment, over-prescribing drugs? That doesn't sound good. And this guy, they're talking about putting the entirety of the VA under his auspices. Scary, scary stuff. So there's Trump hanging out with his BFF, Emmanuel Macron. And there's something really passive-aggressive about this guy.
Mr. President, they're all saying what a great relationship we have, and they're actually correct. It's not fake news. Finally, it's not fake news. So it's a great honor that you're here. But we do have a very special relationship. In fact, I'll get that little piece of dandruff off. That little piece. We have to make him perfect. He is perfect.
Oh,
so
my
it is
God.
Really, it is really great to be with you, and you are a special friend. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're a special friend. So there he is in front of the cameras, the press, and he's talking about what a great friend he is. And he's like, I'm going to wipe this bit of dandruff off of your shoulder. Really? If you're going to do something like that, wouldn't you do it in private if you're really a friend? Just asking. So they had a number of events today. They planted a tree. They Melania and Mademoiselle Macron went to a museum. They had a meeting in the cabinet room. There was the press. And in the meeting in the cabinet room, Trump said something really, well, not that everything he says isn't cringeworthy, but he said this.
Kim Jong-un was, he really has been very open. And I think very honorable
what?
From everything we're seeing. Now,
what?
A lot of promises have been made by North Korea over the years.
What? All right, I'm going to stop it right there. The clip goes on. But Kim Jong-un has been very honorable from everything he's seeing? Okay, what the hell is this guy talking about? Well, thankfully, during the two and two, the thing that passes as a press conference in the era of Trump, one of the reporters, a reporter from Reuters, asked him about it. Unfortunately, as Trump does, he didn't answer. Now, I won't subject you to the whole thing, but I'm going to play a little bit of this to show you that he never does answer the question.
You mentioned today that you thought the leader of North Korea has behaved openly and honorably. This is someone who many people have accused of starving his people, killing family members. What did you mean when you called him that?
Well, I hope that we will be able to deal in a very open and honorable fashion with North Korea. I started a process, and when I did, everybody thought I was doing it absolutely wrong. But in the meantime, for 25 years, people have been dealing and nothing happened.
What does this have to do with
right
Kim
now.
Jong-un
I can tell
being
you that,
honorable?
Jeff, a lot is happening, and I think it's going to be very positive. And I hope it's going to be very positive for North Korea and for South Korea and Japan and the rest of the world. But I am starting at a level that, frankly, I shouldn't have had to start. This should have been worked out a long time ago.
Honorable.
This should have been worked out many
Where
years ago.
Where did honorable
we were discussing
come
that.
From?
We shouldn't be having this situation happen to the United States and the world. This should have been
Still
resolved
waiting.
By other presidents and by other leaders of other countries a long time ago. With that being said,
honorable?
I think we're doing very well. Meetings are being set up.
No.
And I want to see denuclearization of North Korea. A lot of concessions have already been made. We have made no concessions, despite some of the media saying that I've made concessions. I haven't even discussed a concession, other than
what?
The fact that meeting is a great thing. And I'm sure that a lot of other people would have liked to have had the position we're having.
Okay.
I will say
honorable.
This.
You called him honorable.
On a country
Where
that
has
we
he
ever
been honorable?
Any country by far. China, President Xi has been very
now we're on to
strong
China.
In helping us to solve this problem
okay.
in his case at the border. He's allowing very little to get through. I think he's doing that for a number of reasons. We have a very good relationship.
We'll stop it there because it goes on like that. He talked about China and Xi. He talked about a little bit about France. He did not answer the question, as is typical for this guy. They asked him a question. You called him honorable. In what way has he been honorable? He did not answer the question. Figures. But he talked about what a great job he's doing. He being Trump. Trump talked about how he's doing things that no one else was capable of. I couldn't make this stuff up. All I can do is tell you what was said. Okay. A lot more went on during that whole presser thing. We'll talk about it today. It's Tuesday, so Gotta Laugh is here. Hopefully she's got her puppy all tuckered out so we could spend the good part of the hour going through her tweet spot and talking about the rest of the news and what's going on. So we'll take a quick break. We'll check out what's news. And come back with Gotta Laugh next. Don't go away. I'm Nicole Sandler, NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The Senate Foreign Relations Committee on Monday narrowly endorsed Mike Pompeo for Secretary of State after Rand Paul changed his mind and voted yes.
My fear has always been Director Pompeo doesn't share that point of view. I asked him here, and he said, oh, it was a long time ago. But I've talked to him again and again and again, and I've talked to the president again and again and again. And what I hear from the president is no one's changing his mind. Many of these wars were ill-advised, and his goal is really to get us out of many of these wars. That's a goal I share. And so I actually want Trump to be Trump. I want people around him who actually will give him the advice and not try to persuade him that perpetual war is the answer to things. And so with all that being said, I have changed my mind. I've decided to go ahead and vote for Director Pompeo.
What?
Because he's assured me that he's learned the lesson. Now, time will tell if those assurances are true or not. And I won't say that I can say with absolute certainty I know what his opinions will be and how they will come out over time. But I do take him at his word that he does and has incorporated the idea that the Iraq war was a mistake. And I think that is a step forward, particularly for our side to have anybody say that, because I'm sure if we had a vote on my side, I would probably lose that vote in the committee even. But I do think that the country understands that the Afghan war has gone on for 18 years and they're ready for some other ideas. I hope that they'll let Trump be Trump and that Pompeo will be a constructive influence and not a destructive one. But from what I've been told and listened to with the director, I think that he is open and understands that his job is that the president is his boss and will listen. And I hope that all of us, the country, really will rethink how many wars we need to be involved in, whether they're constructive or destructive. Thank you.
A party line vote is expected later this week, and with three Democrats already pledging their support, Pompeo will likely face an easy confirmation. The Senate is postponing confirmation hearings for Ronny Jackson to head Veterans Affairs just 2 days before Jackson was scheduled to testify before the Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs. In addition to Jackson's lack of management experience, the White House physician and former combat surgeon had come under fire for his glowing appraisal of the president's health in January. In recent days, fresh concerns arose about his management of the White House Medical Office, which appear to put his confirmation in jeopardy. CNN has more.
Both Republicans and Democrats on the committee are reviewing these allegations, raising concerns about Ronny Jackson, the White House physician who the president has picked to lead the Department of Veterans Affairs. While they're not detailing what these allegations are yet, what we know is that they have to deal with improper conduct at various points of his career, according to two sources. Now, those sources tell my colleague Phil Mattingly that the committee is in talks to delay Jackson's confirmation hearing. That was scheduled for Wednesday afternoon while they try to wrap their heads around these new details. Jackson, of course, had questions around his nomination. He's not someone who had a lot of management experience, and people had concerns about what his policy views are to lead one of the government's largest federal agencies.
How far along are they in either refuting or substantiating allegations?
They're still trying to figure this out. We spoke to a number of Democratic lawmakers who were huddling on this issue on Capitol Hill tonight. One of them, Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, telling us that these are raw allegations. They're trying to figure out exactly if there's any factual basis to them. We also heard from Montana Senator John Tester. He's the top Democrat on the Senate Veterans Committee. And he told us this, that he's going to tell his staff and himself, give them enough time to do as much work as they can in the next 48 hours. There's just 48 hours to go, and they're going to see what they can come up with. And he asked if these allegations are troubling. He told my colleagues on the Hill today that if true, they could be.
Politico is reporting that two sources is confirmed Senate Veteran Affairs Committee is reviewing allegations against Ronny Jackson, which include a hostile work environment, excessive drinking on the job, and improperly dispensing meds. Voters in Arizona's 8th Congressional District go to the polls Tuesday to replace Republican Representative Trent Franks, who resigned in December amid his sexual misconduct scandal. Republicans have spent a lot of money to boost their candidate in an effort to ensure there isn't another Democratic upset. Republicans have a 17-point advantage in registration in the district, but Democrat Hirol Tipernini has mounted a serious challenge to Republican Debbie Lesko. The White House hosting the first state dinner of the Trump administration Tuesday night for French President Emmanuel Macron. Only one Democrat has been invited, Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards, and no members of the press will be there. The president has reportedly dumped security protocol and taken to calling advisors outside the White House on his private cell phone, possibly so Chief of Staff John Kelly doesn't know who he's talking to.
We have learned from one White House official I spoke with that he is using it more frequently and more recently. And this is also seen as a way for the president to get around his own Chief of Staff, John Kelly. When Kelly first came on board, the president used the White House switchboard more frequently, although he still did have his personal cell phone. And at that time, John Kelly would then print out a list of who the president was speaking to. Now we're told the president is basically trying to get around that using his own cell phone so that there is no watchful eye, essentially, on who he is speaking to.
And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
You're listening to The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for The Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Oh, it's Tuesday, and we love Tuesdays because we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh, and we talk about the news by going through Laffy's Twitter feed in her tweet spot. Let's get her on the line, shall we? Hello.
Yes, you reached the Kim Jong Undermines Trump hotline.
Okay.
Press 1 if you think Trump thinks a successful deal with Kim means making a profit by putting the Trump logo on every North Korean intercontinental ballistic missile.
Hmm. Yeah, that sounds like Trump.
Press 2 if you think North Korea now has the capacity to bomb, but Trump bombs on a daily basis.
Yes.
Press 3 if you think Trump believes he can get North Korea to denuke the way he also believes that he hires all the best people, that he alone can fix it, and that women are actually attracted to him.
Oh, we are so screwed.
I know. Oh, my God. And we are so lucky that my puppy just fell asleep.
Oh, did he? Good.
Just now. Yay. And I was anticipating him having to go out because I like fed him just as your show was starting. And then I thought, why did I do that? And then I thought, well, maybe he'll fall asleep. And he did. Yay.
So, good. Hopefully he'll sleep for the hour.
Oh, I hope so. Anyway, well, we have so much to go through. I did. Now, some of it may be redundant because you covered a lot just now, but I tried to pull as many tweets as I could from today's presser and then a couple of extras, and then we have all of yesterday's to go through.
Let me correct you. From what passes as a presser in the Trump era, I have to say that from now on, because he has done one press conference since he's been in office. The other things he does are these two and twos where he, you know, has a foreign leader in and they have to take questions from the media. So they take two from the American press and two from the foreign press. And like for today, he took one from Reuters and the second one from Fox, and then the two from one was agency Presse France, and the other was a French TV station. I don't even think he took questions from the French reporters. I think he just let them ask one of Macron.
Yeah, no, he doesn't do pressers. He feeds his own ego. He bellows. He lies. He smears. He praises himself a whole lot, then hands it off to whoever's there with him.
And he rambles. Oh, my God. Does
he
ramble?
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes. It is. It's unbelievable.
Yes. So
it's embarrassing.
And I watched it. I watched it all today. And maybe that's why I'm feeling nauseous right now.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the reason. By the way, little news alert. An F-16 fighter jet has crash landed in Arizona.
I saw that. The good news, though, is the pilot survived.
Oh, good. Okay, because I just got it. Must be a late alert. You know how they come in kind of like these waves of alerts?
Yep.
That one must be one of the later ones. But anyway, good. Glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Okay, should we just launch into it?
Sure. Let's go.
Find the bird. Welcome to my tweet spot.
Okay, it's springtime. There's lots of birdies out there.
And lots of beesies. Okay, so Mark Noller had tweeted, why would I want to be stuck in a room with a bunch of fake news liberals who hate me, says President Trump, about why he won't be attending the White House Correspondents' Dinner this weekend. In a fundraising email, he says he'll be holding a campaign rally in Michigan instead.
Oh, my God.
Yes, isn't that just typical?
Yes, perfectly typical. You know, the White House Correspondents' Dinner is a weird event anyway. And it would be awkward. Look, this is a guy who's called the press the enemy of the American people, which is, you know, that's treason as far as I'm concerned. Because
going after our Constitution. Sure.
Yeah. Yep. A free and open press.
Well, why would he do that when he can have an ego rally and get his poor little tattered ego just filled up again and over to overflowing so then he can come marching back to the White House feeling all rough and tough?
Of course. Well, that's what does his body good, I suppose.
What body are you talking about?
It's 329-pound body.
Washington Post Phil Bump, he said, one interesting and revealing thing about Trump is that when he misspeaks, and we all know this, he often pretends he didn't. Reading from prepared remarks, he just said that the French flag flying next to ours was a symbol, quote, of the world, then caught himself and added, and to the world.
Right.
And Chris Hayes did this enormous segment on this. He did a big old long montage of, right. You see it?
Uh-huh.
And he always adds the word and then makes the correction as if he meant to say both of them.
Right. He'll never admit that he stumbled over something when he's reading off a script or a teleprompter or something. And he does it all the time. All the time.
All the time. Because he can't read. He's such an idiot. God. Anyway, so the AP was reporting that tomorrow, This is so weird because the reaction was just what from Sopan Deb. I don't know if it got that name pronounced right, but he's a New York Times guy. Anyway, he said, tomorrow, Sean Spicer launches Melania Trump installation at Madame Tussauds.
Yeah, I saw that. Ew.
The wax figure. Yeah, that's bizarre.
I wonder if she'll be wearing the white hat.
Or nothing at all.
Oh, or nothing at all. Yeah, apparently there's a we were at dinner at some friend's house over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people there works in the porn industry. And apparently there is a porn video of Melania Trump out there.
Oh.
Real, it's the real deal.
Like full-on porn. Well, that's like no wonder porn. He likes porn stars. So, I mean, that's all he seems to have this odd fixation on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't seem to like him very much. And Melania, did you see the little video of her not holding his hand again today?
No, I heard about it. I missed it.
He kept trying. They were like standing together, like really uh-huh. close, hand to hand. You know, uh-huh. like you couldn't tell they weren't holding hands practically, right? So he kind of wiggles his fingers over to hers, like, come on, hold my hand. Come on, hold my hand. Three times. Once she kind of whacked it away, like a little bit of a boop. And another time she just pulled away. And then another time she kind of just pushed him away. And I think eventually he grabbed her hand, but it was totally embarrassing.
Wow. She really must hate him for good reason.
Yeah. Oh, right. Bigly reason.
Yes.
So our buddy, the rude pundit,
mm-hmm.
who I love, he said, Trump doesn't even understand the translation of what Macron is saying.
I don't think he listens. I really think he just tunes out and nods every once in a while.
I do too. I totally believe that. Okay. So Daniel Dale is great at live tweeting these. So I have a few of his scattered among the ones I'm reading to you. For the 10th time in office, Daniel Dale, by the way, is a Toronto Star,
right.
Washington correspondent. He's just terrific. He says, for the 10th time in office, Trump falsely claims the Obama-era U.S. gave Iran $150 billion. The U.S. unfroze Iranian assets. Experts say Iran was newly able to access $60 billion or so. Now, he is so good at live tweeting corrections. He knows them off the, either he has them all in front of him all the time, or he's come to memorize them because they've been so repetitive.
Mm-hmm. Probably both. You know, there was another one, and I don't know if you have this or not, but his $7 trillion number again, saying that
spent
$7 trillion in the Middle East. It's a total fabrication, one that he trots out all the time, but it's wrong.
Totally.
It's been debunked over and over again. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like he's just got them in his head and he spews them out as if they're mm-hmm. fact, and that everyone's supposed to nod in agreement. Daniel Dale again says, Trump on his nominee for Veterans Affairs Secretary, I know there's an experience problem. And he then says, he told Jackson, what do you need this for? That's what you played on your
right.
tape. And then he says, this is unusual. That's how he typed it with
uh-huh.
dots and everything. This is unusual. Yeah, it's
you
definitely
think?
Unusual. Yeah.
Yeah. But again, he won't say, you know, his vetting process is flawed. He won't say there's a problem with the nominee. He's blaming it on the Democrats. He's blaming it on everybody else. You know, it's because the Democrats are obstructionists. Give me a fucking break.
Oh, I know. And then when Pompeo got the little nod from the committee, he, you know, and then he made a comment about, see, it's the Dems. See,
yep.
see, because he got in, see, and everybody said he wasn't going to see. So,
right.
see, everyone, see.
Yep.
I mean, that's what he was doing. It was just horrible today. Joe Cirincione, who heads Plowshares, and he's an expert on all things nuke. Trump just outlined a, quote, grand bargain deal with Iran that was completely impossible for Obama to achieve. Would have been idiotic to have tried. Even if he had succeeded, Republicans would have blasted him and killed it. Trump has zero ability to strike such a deal now.
Yeah.
It's scary to think about.
It is. It is. You know, he'll also talk about how if the meeting with Kim Jong-un isn't going well, he'll get up, unlike others. Well, nobody else has met with him. And for good reason, because they go through the proper channels. I mean, look, if this works out, I'll be the first to say I'm wrong. But
sure. The
whole thing frightens the bejesus out of me. And I didn't know I had bejesus in me.
we atheist Jews often don't. But he loves to say, nobody's ever done this before. I am the only one. I am the king. I can fix it like nobody can. Look at me. I am just so amazingly cool. I can't stand it. And meanwhile, we watch every, like the stock market today, bam, down 470 now, but it was down well over 500 before. Anyway, back to Joe Cirincione. He has another tweet. Right now, Macron is saying something very reasonable and comprehensive on how to keep the Iran anti-nuclear deal. Trump seems to be listening, but does he agree with the Macron, quote, we cannot just tear apart the deal? I don't think he agrees with that.
Well, Trump did his whole, we'll see what I do on the 12th, because I guess the 12th is the date that he has to either ratify it or not again.
Yes.
And he did like a stay tuned, you know, how he does everything in TVEs.
Exactly. No, he does that whenever he doesn't quite know what to do. And he's trying to scare us a little bit and keep us on our toes. And what's he going to do next, everybody? Oh, my God, let's listen to him because he might say something next time. But no, it's just his way of stalling and not knowing that, you know, he has no answers. He has to run to John Bolton to see who to bomb instead.
Oh, God, John Bolton. That man frightens the hell out of me. There was a shot when they were in the cabinet room. And the press was in there, and Macron was speaking, and you could see John Bolton off to the side checking his phone and making notes
on
rather than listening to what the president of France was saying.
Okay, I don't even want to think about what he might be typing down in his little red button phone. Ugh. All right, so feminist next door, just a random tweet that I saw. No matter how bad work. I love this one. No matter how bad work may get today, it will never be, quote, try to explain the Iran deal to Donald Trump bad.
it's funny, but it's really sad because I wish somebody could explain the Iran deal to Donald Trump because maybe he'd, you know, a man with a brain would get it.
Maybe if they had a porn star come in and try to explain things to him, he'd start listening. And then he could do an NDA and we'd never know if he found out what it all meant or not. So, Adam Best, who is a new follower of mine, who I really like, he is CEO and founder of something called The Left. He's a film producer. He's blocked by Donald Trump.
Okay.
I have a couple of quotes from him throughout today. He said, the Iran nuclear deal is complex, but Trump is not. His hatred for the deal is based on two things, Obama envy and Fox News conditioning, which is basically what we were just saying.
It's very true. Obama envy and Fox News conditioning. That sums it up. That's about the depth of Trump.
Yeah, that's all he can muster up. I heard he can't get it up, but this is ridiculous. okay, so Indira Lakshmanan, I'm sorry, she is the ethics chair and a columnist. She's ethics chair at Pointer. I'm guessing that's okay. Richard.
I have no idea.
Oh, that's Painter. I'm sorry. I'm getting two things mixed up. Anyway, she's a columnist for the Boston Globe, and I really like her. She tweeted, Trump just called North Korean terrorist dictator who illegally made and proliferated nuclear weapons to outlaws, executed relatives, and keeps people in gulags very open and honorable, which you covered. And she says, my Boston Globe column on this whole thing. She then links over. But come on. This is insane. Calling him honorable, and like you said, he could not answer when they said, what does that mean? Why'd you say that?
He went on for 5 minutes. Five and a half minutes I have of a clip there, which I thankfully did not play the whole thing. And he did not answer. He didn't even go close to answering it. By the way, LOL GOP retweeted that quote. He really has been very open and I think very honorable from everything we're seeing. A lot of promises have been made by North Korea over the years, but they've never been in this position. And then LOL GOP wrote, imagine if he were willing to treat Democrats in Congress with this kind credulity.
Exactly. Yeah. He treats dictators great. Duterte, who kills his own people. But, you know, Democrats say no to him or question him and we're the enemy. So that's pretty amazing. The press is the enemy. But Kim? No.
Yeah.
Daniel Dale again. Trump says some countries in the Middle East wouldn't exist without the United States. Wouldn't last a week. That's a quote from Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't last a week without the United States.
Oh, God.
I want to throw up. I just can't. Sahil Kapoor with Bloomberg, he said, Trump says Middle Eastern countries are immensely wealthy and they're going to have to pay for military activities the U.S. is engaged in. We've spoken to them. They will pay for this.
I love how he says, you know, we've spent all this money and we've gotten nothing, nothing from it, nothing. How do you think the families of soldiers who've been killed over there feel when you hear him say we've gotten nothing?
But he's so pro-military. Come on.
Yeah.
He loves the troops.
Of course
he
does.
Here's the $7 trillion quote. We've spent $7 trillion in the Middle East and we've gotten nothing for it. Nothing. Less than nothing as far as I'm concerned. That's over an 18-year period. That was the quote.
Yeah. And again, if you Google, someone linked to a story from February in the Washington Post that was debunking that $7 trillion number, every time he says it, I cringe because one estimate says that's including projections for the next decades. That we have not spent $7 trillion. Plus, he includes Afghanistan in the Middle East. Afghanistan is not in the Middle East.
I can't stand, I listened to most of it. I was kind of in and out, you know, with Mr. Pepe, but I was getting so stressed out, you know, that I couldn't even concentrate because I was just like, this is the person who's got his finger on the button, who's supposed to be leading the free world, which, you know,
and
if he had his way, he'd lead the world as a dictator.
Yes, yes. Oh, very, very much so. And he's made that clear. And this weird relationship with Macron, I don't understand it. The holding hands and the kissing and this sycophantic thing they've got going on is really creepy.
Well, it's creepy, but I think, well, you know, it started with the power play with the big handshakes the first time they met. But I'm hoping it's just Macron's way of kissing his ass and trying to get him to do his you know, think about doing what he would like.
Do the right thing, right.
You know, and Trump is stupid enough to fall for it, even though he hears everybody say he's stupid enough to fall for it. He loves the flattery, and he's showing everybody, see, I've got a friend in Europe. I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's just a sick relationship that's based on Macron trying to get something done.
Yeah, I hope Macron is that smart. And because we know he wants the U.S. back in the Paris climate accord. He wants us to stay in the Iran deal. And maybe, you know, he figures this is how you get to him. Flattery will get you everywhere.
That's got to be it, because he is obviously smarter than Trump. I mean, just watching him at the press conference, he has that intelligence that we usually see from other leaders except our own. And he can speak at least two languages fluently. Mm-hmm. Ours can't speak one. So I think he knows what he's doing. I just don't know. I hope this is the way to get his way, but I don't know if it's going to work. Anyway, Michael C. Bender from who's this from? Wall Street Journal. How did Trump convince Rand Paul to back Pompeo? Quote, I knew things that nobody else knew, Trump says cryptically.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know. He's always saying stuff like that, like, wink, wink, yeah. I am in charge. Yep. I know things that no one else in the whole world knows. I'm better than everybody. And if you ask me something I can't answer, I'll just tell you how great I am.
Yes. Well, that we know. But it's just Rand Paul is a wuss. He's got no backbone and you can't believe a word he says.
Right. No, except for his stupid base believes him. I got a few million trolls today, which surprised me because I haven't had any in a while. And then I realized it's because the stock market dropped. And whenever the stock market drops like this, I get trolls because they start feeling very antsy about things and they threatened and they come out and they start attacking. This is something Daniel Dale is covering. I think you've already covered. As far as Trump is saying this, as far as experience is concerned, the VA is so big that nobody has the experience. And Daniel Dale's reaction was 3 question marks in a row.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was part of his rambling answer or non-answer to the question on Ronnie Jackson and whether or not he should, pull out. And rather than say, you know what, we didn't do our job in vetting him properly, and maybe he's not qualified, he's like he puts it on the disgusting Congress and you know, going through the whole process of being approved by Congress as disgusting,
right,
rather than saying that they need to do a better job of vetting candidates.
Right. If he sends them a candidate that hasn't been vetted, if he sends them a candidate that isn't qualified, then Congress will do their job, hopefully, and say no, this, and start questioning him and hopefully reject him. So he doesn't know how the process works. He doesn't care how the process works. He just wants his own way. And if he had his way, he'd be the king that appoints his what do you call what a king has? His kingdom, or his, I don't know,
his kingdom.
What's the word for his cabinet? His I don't know, whatever. This is the poll quote that I liked, or not liked, but I thought was the most notable about Jackson, Ronnie Jackson. Trump is now, this is from Daniel Dale, Trump is now sounding like he doesn't want Jackson's nomination to proceed. And here's the quote: "I don't want to put a man through who's not a political person. I don't want to put a man through a process like this. It's too ugly and too disgusting. The fact is, I wouldn't do it to be abused."
Yeah, then why'd you nominate him, you fucker?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God. Here's a random one from Matthew Miller, who is, you see him on MSNBC all the time. He's justice and security expert. And he said, okay, so this is Jennifer Epstein reporting. Jennifer Epstein is from Bloomberg, reporting that Jeff Sessions will not recuse himself from the Michael Cohen case. And I wasn't sure what to make of it because it flew by. And then Matthew Miller said, "I don't understand this. Part of the investigation is into possible campaign finance violations. Sessions had a role on the Trump campaign, and DOJ rules are crystal clear that he should recuse, just as they were for the Russia probe." So that answered my question.
Mm-hmm.
He should recuse.
Yeah,
and
he's not
going
to. Right.
Because he knows if he does, Trump will fire him.
Right. Well, I don't know at this point. I mean, it's all so wishy-washy, because Sessions is now saying if Trump fires Mueller or Rosenstein, then he'll leave. Then he'll quit.
Right. But I think this would push Trump to kick him out. I think his threatening to leave might have bought him a little time, but, you know, he's always walking this line. But if he recused for a second time, and that's the one thing that Trump got so mad at, is that he recused himself, I think that would do it. I think he would actually get rid of him, and I think Sessions knows that.
I know.
It's a big stew pot of ick. So Jim Sciutto, is that how you say his name? Sciutto.
That's how you say his name.
Well, it sounds like an Italian salami, and I'm going to say it that way.
Okay.
He's with CNN, and he said Kim Jong-un has really been very open and I think very honorable based on what we are seeing Trump just said. Okay, so then Jeremy Scahill says, Now do one about all the Democrats and Republicans who have fawned over the Saudi royals.
Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay. We're down minus 521 on the Dow. I have that up right now. Okay. So we're done with today's. Now we have yesterday's. Are we excited?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Senator Joe Manchin tweeted, after meeting with Mike Pompeo, discussing his foreign policy perspectives and considering his distinguished time as CIA director and his exemplary career in public service, I will vote to confirm Mike Pompeo to be our next Secretary of State. And Adam Best said, that's the film producer I quoted earlier, at this point, are Heitkamp and Manchin even Democrats? There's got to be a way to be a red state Democrat without caving on absolutely everything.
You know what? The problem is, though, there really isn't.
I know.
To be,
because of their voters.
Yes. In order for them, and they're both up for reelection, in order for them to be reelected in this climate, this is what they've got to do. I hate to say it, but I get it.
Oh, I get it. It's just very, very frustrating. It's like they shouldn't really be Democrats. They should be called something different so that we don't have our expectations where they are, because obviously people are expecting them to act more like Democrats than they are, like, I would say, independents.
Right. But occasionally their votes come through, like you know, in keeping Obamacare alive.
So, I said that to somebody else yesterday. I said the exact same thing, that there are times when I really appreciate them because they do come through for us. So, you know, we're stuck with this, but God is so frustrating.
Yeah, well, this is the problem with the fact that we have two senators from every state, regardless of, the fact that California has so many millions of people and West Virginia, has so few millions of people,
right,
that they're of the same representation. That's a problem with our system, with our representation. It's a flaw in the system.
No, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. So we have a Cliff Schechter quote. He's reacting to this from NRA TV.
Oi.
Good old NRA TV.
Uh-huh.
Quote, Barack Obama, you owe the Parkland students an apology. Had every child been given the same armed security yours were protected by, there never would have been a Parkland massacre for you to weaponize in your Time 100 hit piece attacking the NRA.
Oh,
right?
God. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so good old Cliff said, God, you obtuse asses never stop. How about Waffle Houses? Should we harden those too? Put metal detectors at doors? Armed guards? Maybe we all walk through metal detectors to go outside. Always have armed guards so you can keep your AR-15 dick extension. You gonna pay for all this? I'm gonna get this right. You gonna pay for all this, goons?
Way to go,
there
Cliff.
There we go. If anybody knows how to do this, it's Cliff. He is so good at that. I got to quote him more often.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, so yeah, they got theirs, boy. Cliff gave it to him. So CNN's Manu Raju, he kind of made an observation. He said, Sarah Sanders not answering directly on what Trump meant when he tweeted over the weekend that North Korea had committed to denuclearization, which they haven't done, points to South Korea comments on hopes North Korea will denuclearize. So she does this. She just, it's Sarah Sanders. It's Huckabee S.
Yes.
It's Huckabee.
Well, that's what she does. She makes shit up just like her boss, and then she doesn't answer questions. I watched a little bit of her thing yesterday, and she just does not answer questions. She prevaricates.
Exactly. No, it's almost pointless to have, people keep saying to me over and over again every time she comes on, why do the press even show up? Well, for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's their job to cover the White House.
Yep.
Second, if some of the press decided they would abandon, then we would be left mostly with conservative press covering her, and that would be the news coming out all the time.
That's right. That's true.
So we have to have them there.
Yep.
If she's going to lie, sometimes they do challenge her, and if she gives them a chance, if she goes on and continues to sort of, deflect and go off in her own little lying way, they can only argue with her so much. So, what are they going to do? I mean, I wish they would argue a little more than they do, but there's a reason they're there. And I think we need to, accept that.
Yep. That's right. The way it's done, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. At least she is being challenged. At least she is being asked questions that sometimes we don't get to hear.
That's right.
So I disagree with people who say we should abandon that. Although it is extremely frustrating to just hear her lie all the time. That's just ridiculous.
And refuse to answer questions.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's your job.
I guess we just
I have to refer
that
you
that
to
her.
Justice for that one.
Yes. Yes. Just go to the people that won't answer your questions also.
You'll have to ask Michael Cohen about that one.
Right. I'm sure he's available to you.
Sure.
Sam Stein says, Sarah Sanders has barely answered a single question. All, quote, I'm not going to get into, or when we have something to say,
there
we will,
go.
Or I don't have
anything
for you
on
that.
There you go. That's exactly
it.
Yep. That's what she does.
So Shannon Moore replied to Ari Fleischer. And Ari Fleischer was talking about Trump's business deals being investigated. He said, this is slimy. Mueller has the duty to investigate collusion, not Trump's business deals. He will lose legitimacy if he strays from his mission. The author of this piece, Glenn Simpson of Fusion GPS, wants Mueller to go down that road. That's slimy. And Shannon Moore said, Bill Clinton was investigated by Ken Starr for a real estate dealing, Whitewater. Guess what? He lied about a blowjob, and that's why they said they impeached him. Thanks, Linda Tripp. Calm down, Ari.
Good point.
She'd be good. She's pretty good. When she gets going, She's almost like a Cliff type of response. She gets there. Adam Best again. He said, Sarah Sanders quote, Democrats have decided whether they love this country more than they hate this president. Have to decide. Sorry. Democrats have to decide whether they love this country more than they hate this president. And then Adam Best says, this nonsense is hard to hear from an administration that has sided with Russians and white nationalists over patriotic liberals.
It's true.
And authoritarians.
Yeah, it's so true. But that's what they do. It's the gaslighting of America.
No, it truly is. And that is exactly what they do. They gaslight. I wish people would use that term more often because it is perfectly appropriate.
You know, tomorrow I have Amanda Marcotte coming on. You've seen her work in Salon,
yeah,
and other places. She's got a new book out called Troll Nation that I happened to read. I actually read the whole book this weekend. It's easy reading, and I just flew through it. And she talks a lot about how they gaslight you and what gave rise to the trolls out there and how they troll all of us.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. I got to read her book. So The Hill had a headline, Hannity linked to shell companies that spent $90 million on property. And Seth Abramson said, this is a good moment to remind everyone that Sean Hannity says he spoke with Michael Cohen, Trump's embattled and now federally investigated attorney, about, quote, real estate. Real estate indeed.
Yeah. This whole Sean Hannity thing, there's got to be more there. There's got to be a lot there. I mean, if he was the mysterious third client for an attorney who only had three clients, mm-hmm, and the reason they needed to identify who the three clients were was so that anything of privilege remained privileged, you know, there's something there. And for him to just say he never acted as my attorney, I never paid him, he never invoiced me, I may have given him $10, but we talked real estate. There's something there.
Well, there was an article today about how the real estate guy he dealt with had him like all these shell companies, and he was all involved with you know, nefarious things. So it said they couldn't definitively tie Hannity to any of that, but you're getting there. You know, you're seeing that he's involved now with a shady, really shady guy, and you're seeing that he has all these real estate holdings and worth millions. And I get the feeling it's all starting to come together and close in, and we're going to find out that, I'm guessing, that's where Hannity's in trouble.
I guess.
It seems like it from just what's come out so far. So far, we haven't seen much else on him. It's been all about these weird real estate deals. So we'll find out eventually. Oh, guess who's
there? Or uh-oh. Not. Uh-oh.
He's drinking. Let's hope he goes back to sleep. He's drinking. I should give him vodka. Jeff Tiedrick said, Travis Reinking, white mass murderer in custody. Tamir Rice, 12-year-old black child playing with a toy gun, dead. Stefan Clark, a black man holding cell phone in backyard, dead. Philando Castile, black man sitting in his car doing nothing, dead. And the list goes on and on.
That's true. I think that's the sort of a false equivalency, but I get the trend, and it is a disturbing trend.
Well, that's the thing. I put out a tweet saying something like, you know, a white guy gets arrested, black guy, you know, doesn't, or so. No, I didn't even say white guy gets arrested in that typical or something. He's alive. And a few people interpreted that as meaning he should have gotten shot. I wanted the white guy shot.
And that's the problem with Twitter.
That was not what I was saying.
Right. No, I get that. And it's just like the terrorist or the guy in Toronto. Oh, my God. Did you hear about this? The guy who was driving the van, they're saying that they're not likening him to terrorism because he wasn't an ISIS person. He apparently idolized the guy in Santa Barbara, because he can't get laid.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those. He's like a woman hater.
Right.
And because he can't get a woman, he goes out and kills people. But they took him, they arrested him without killing him as well. But that's Canada. That's not the U.S.
Right. I think that might have been the example I used, in fact. But it had to be here. But
Nobody should be shot unless it's truly necessary. It's truly, you're about to get killed. Unfortunately, our cops tend to shoot first and ask questions later all too often. Not every time, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously do a good job, but enough times where we have a lot of protests about it, enough times where a lot of families are broken from it, and we need to address it. And I did address it. And for anyone to think that was me saying, well, the white guy should have gotten shot. No, I'm saying the black guy shouldn't get shot.
Of course. Well, of course. Duh.
I know, but people. Yes,
people.
Yeah.
Damn people.
Damn those people, Twitter people. All right, Blue Gal from Crooks and Liars on the Ryan King thing. She said, I would note that Homeland Security warned us about these white nationalist groups as terrorist organizations in 2009. And I can vouch for this because I used to write this up all the time. And Michelle Malkin and Brit Hume lost their shit, claiming that Obama was, quote, silencing dissent and by calling conservatives terrorists. White nationalists, white supremacists are white the militia groups are responsible for a ton of terrorism.
Of course they are.
Domestic terrorism.
Yes. It goes back you look at Terry Nichols and
yes.
What's his name?
Right. And when I used to write about this and when other people used to bring it up back in the 2009, 2010, the Republicans would raise hell and they'd say, no, terrorists are only, the people that blow up buildings and da, da, da. Well, guess who blew up a building?
Yep.
We warned about this and we got poo-pooed for it, and it continues on and on, and it's getting more brazen. So screw everybody. All right. So David Gelis, a CNN producer, said sources tell CNN Trump is using his cell phone because, quote, he doesn't want Kelly to know who he's talking to. Definitely the walls are breaking, one source said. And I was like, don't tell Dad about my ultra super duper double secret calls. I mean, Kelly can't find out I'm using my phone. I'm going to hide in the bathroom.
I remember when Obama was bitching because he couldn't use his old BlackBerry or whatever wasn't secure. Mm-hmm. Trump is on his cell phone all the time. And I think it's his old, unsecure Android.
Yeah, there's major security issues here, and people keep bringing them up. But he just goes right ahead. I mean, what's going to happen? I wonder if we're going to have some major incident because of him and how that will be handled. It's just, it's mind-boggling, and it's scary to think about, but it could happen.
Yep, I wouldn't doubt it.
Oh, boy. Rashad Robinson of Color of Change, he was reacting to a Time headline that said neo-Nazis burned a swastika after their rally in Georgia. And he said, hey, Trump, this morning you had enough time to praise yourself, call for the wall, and attack Democrats. No comment for neo-Nazis parading around publicly, though?
Well, some of them are fine people, don't you know?
Oh, yes, both sides.
Yes.
Okay, Alexander Panetta from the Canadian Press, not related to Leon. He said, U.S. Senator Ted Cruz on the incident in Toronto on Fox News Now. Quote, as we look at this attack in Toronto, we obviously don't know the details yet, but it underscores what a dangerous world we're in. This is a perilous time. We need a strong, steady hand as Secretary of State.
Oh, my God.
So because of Toronto, we all need Pompeo to save us.
Oh, my God.
Can you even?
No, I can't.
No.
I can't.
Me neither. Bleh. Rand Paul tweeted, having received assurances from President Trump, and I use those words only because he did, and Director Pompeo that he agrees with the president on these important issues, I have decided to support his nomination to be our next Secretary of State. So he pulled as usual, putting up a big fight, sounding like he was going to say no, and then said yes. And Quinn Cummings replied, unlicensed doctor first does harm.
Uh-huh.
Naveed, an attorney, added, thanks for paving the way for the Iran war, Paul.
Yep.
And John Ralston from the Nevada Independent, said, Rand shrugged.
And that's a good note to end on, because, yeah. Oh, my God.
Rand shrugged. That was a winner. Thank you. Thank you for ending the show with that.
All right. And on that note, we are done. Got to laugh. Go play with the puppy. Go take him out
I
so
will.
He doesn't pee on your floor.
He's still sleeping.
Oh, good. He went back to sleep?
He did.
Good. Good boy.
He's a good boy.
All right. Find Laffy on the Twitters at GottaLaugh, at NicoleSandler.com, at Laffy'sPlace.com, and here every Tuesday. Thanks, Laffy.
Thank you, too. Talk to you later.
Bye. And tomorrow, bye. As I said, Amanda Marcotte of Salon.com and other places where you've been reading her for years, she's got a new book out called Troll Nation, How the Right Became Trump-Worshipping Monsters Set on Rat-Fucking Liberals, America, and Truth Itself. That's a good fare for a Wednesday, I think. As always, thank you for listening. I'm Nicole Sandler. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.